And you mentioned also that that sort of spreads beyond the ED. So, for example, substance abuse counselors, as you point out in your piece, generally make an average of about $43,000 in Hawaii, but at Sand Island Treatment Center, many are in the six-figure range.
That's right. Through the years, a lot of the counselors have been paid well into the six figures, and that is really extraordinary for drug rehabs. As you point out, the Bureau of Labor Statistics tracks what the average pay is for a substance abuse counselor in Hawaii, and it's much, much lower than that. Now, not all of these people were had the title counselor. Some of them were sort of counselor supervisors or clinical supervisors, but a lot of, for the most part, they were sort of in the counseling realm, and they were getting paid, actually, salaries comparable or greater than what executive directors at some of the other drug treatment centers get.
Now, in terms of the organization overall and how they get their revenue, where does their money come from?
Well, they get money from state contracts. So they have contracts with the Department of Health and the judiciary. They get referrals from courts. And they also, I wasn't able to ascertain how much Medicaid money they get, but presumably Medicaid pays for some of the treatment there. And in addition to that, this treatment center has for many years been on public land and has not had a lease or any arrangement with the city or state. This is on Sand Island. It's land that where the Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant is. And this treatment facility was there and has been existing there. And as far as I could tell, not paying rent for close to 60 years.
And on the cost side, any sense of how much money goes into their programming side and what the relative success of that operation is?
They do report a very high rate of success. It's a two-year program, residential program, and I was able to get from the Department of Health, which is one of the state operations that contracts with them, a report that they submitted in which they showed really stellar results. I asked the Department of Health if they verified those results or had any way to audit them, and I didn't hear back from them. So I'm not sure how those numbers compare to other rehabs and how they're verified by the state.
And speaking of not hearing back from folks, Mason Henderson is the executive director, didn't want to talk to you, and neither did any of the board members, but that sort of brings in that question of oversight in terms of the best practices with board directors in a situation like that.
It sure does. It sure does, yes. And there's a six-member board of directors that, of course, a board of directors of a nonprofit is the entity that's responsible for setting the executive's pay. And in this case, there's an unusual situation with the board in that Mason Henderson, the executive director, is on the board. That's not all that unusual. I found other not drug treatment nonprofits in Hawaii that included the executive director, but also the chief financial officer, who is a paid employee of the Sand Island Treatment Center, is also on the board. And if you look at, for instance, the Better Business Bureau's standards for nonprofits, they warn against having too many paid employees on the board. They say it should be no more than one, actually, in a case like this, because you want to avoid conflicts of interest. You want to have people who are truly, for the most part, independent on the board.
And with the organization at the center of their vision. This is a very detailed story. You can read it entirely at civilbeat.org. John Hill, the investigations editor of Civil Beat. John, thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.